I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that the guy coming out of the blocks has the hardest job, because he's got to come out of the blocks. He's got to come out of those blocks, and then he's got to get it going. And that's the hardest job going. A-Wad?
Yes, sir.
And that's the man. So how was your weekend?
It's been good so far. I mean, it's only really just getting started. I guess you could say it started Thursday, because I usually will count my weekends when football starts. So it feels amazing to be back. The Chiefs-Ravens the other night on Thursday, great game, electric ending. That was, I was shocked. A little furious about the likely touchdown, or would have been touchdown, but it is what it is. Then Packers Eagles last night.
I mean, that's it. What do you mean it is what it is? What was your take on it?
Well, I mean, it's Lamar needs to hit open receivers, which can sometimes be an issue, but Lamar is an otherworldly football player. Let me get that first and foremost. Like, he's just, he's just got to clean up the little things here and there. And that's really been, I feel like, a big hallmark for football this weekend, especially last night too, in Eagles Packers. Like, it was just penalty after penalty, and refs were making call after call in the Chiefs Ravens game. So it's just, it's managing whistles, managing mistakes and things like that, that really you got to clean up. And we're at the beginning of the season, so that's kind of why we're at where we're at right now. But, you know, let's hope we don't make the same mistakes on Sunday.
Yeah, my goal is just not to overreact to it, because what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't practice full scale, and then you expect it to be perfect? That's insane. So the only way I can deal with it is to just not get emotionally tied into it. There are a lot of things that, and that's why I love listening, because a talent. And so I go, hey, man, go on with your bad self. I have no idea who's starting for us, let alone the other team. And but that's what makes this fun. And there's also no right or wrong. Like, nobody owns the real estate of saying, this is the way it is. I beg your pardon. Nobody does that. Nobody owns that. There are countless amounts of people that lose fortunes wagering. Their prerogative is their right. Nobody owns any of that territory. You earn it based on how much you have to wage, your intellect. A lot of times people hit it. Who's to say? That's the beauty of this. Step up, do your thing. I'm in awe of it. It's amazing. And then you see the product. We decided to go to Brazil. It looked great. Well, from what I was told, they told the players and people, hey, don't go out your room. Well, I was a part of the London trip. If they'd have told me in London, don't go out of my room, guess what? I'm not going out of my room. I'm going to be terrified to be in another country and have it be some unrest, anything going wrong. Can you imagine being detained in another country?
Yeah, where you're like not speaking the language. And I heard a story about Will Levis in the offseason. He was in Italy, and like he was scouting for places to work out. And so Italian police like rolled up on him like, yo, what are you doing? And he had to talk himself out of getting arrested. Which was very funny, because he didn't speak the language, so he had to get somebody to do it for him. But eventually they were just like, eh. But, yeah I can't imagine, like, that
no,
type
it's no
of...
No, joke.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... And then they go... And again, Brazil has big-time events, obviously. Their form of football, soccer, is far bigger than the NFL to them. But the feel, to me, is unacceptable.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
I'm not, look, I understand it's about the dollar, global expansion of the game, yada, yada, yada. You did the same garbage in Arizona. when they have the fields that you roll in and rolled out. You blew it then. You blew it in the Super Bowl. At some point, we got to at least hold these people, make them accountable. You overpromote sometimes. Just get the daggone field functional so we can have the event. It changed the game on both sides. I don't know if it gave anybody an advantage, but it altered the game. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It altered the game. And so, but again, very little will be said about it. They'll go on. I don't know if it had anything to do with the injury or not, but it's just that's the disappointing part for me is going, once again, they put promotions ahead, and then you have the rule change with the kickoff. And it's a great rule because the kickoff was it's just bad for your health. Trust me, I'm speaking firsthand on that. That's bones and dislocations and concussions. And so, so what are we all about? Do you not care? Are you willing to raise a voice over it, or is it just should we just move on? And we love the things that we're not affected by because it's not your problem, not your pain, and you can just go, you know, take another hit, do a shooter, and just go, hey, lay me 25 on this, on bet on red, and move on. Your choice, but I am curious about it. 1-800-636-1067. You can cast your vote on that. you know, people make impacts. Teams are not going to look sharp in September. They never do. And as long as they keep this ridiculous preseason approach going, it's going to be this way. We just got to lock into it. I'd rather see 20 games and no preseason and play them all, make them count. At least then we get to see the players play in the games. What say you? I mean, do you want to just keep doing this ridiculous clown show that we're going through? It'd be different if we were playing people and then keeping the people. You're firing damn near 90% of the people that are playing anyway.
Yeah, it does get to be exhausting. Because I, four was a lot. When four was the dress rehearsal, the fourth game was the dress rehearsal where the team played like three quarters of the game. That was at least like somewhat interesting. Now that we've cut it down to three, the dress rehearsal is in the second game and it's like the first half. I understand the plight of the players not wanting to, you know, put their bodies through an 18 game season. But at the same time, I think that's the best natural solution for the predicament we found ourselves in, where it would be two preseason games, get those under the belt, get the talent evaluated, and then 18 weeks of regular season football. I think that's the easiest way to fix it, and that's the way the NFL is going to want to go. So I think it would be a good idea for the NFLPA to just kind of acquiesce on this and be like, all right, this is the new normal, but emphasize that like this is the new normal for quite some time, not just, you know, trying to expand it even more or just 5 years down the line or whatever.
Well, it's going to be upon us in the sports radio community that we have this medium to reach out and get our people motivated to bring about some change, because it's just ridiculous. I'd sure like to know what you thought about the surface, like slip and slide. We're doing cleats. Wait a minute, didn't we have pregame? Didn't you go out there and check this out? Matter of fact, you should go over this before you decide to grant them the game.
Even like on the broadcast, they were talking about it. Like one of the announcers was like, yeah, I came out in the early, like middle of the afternoon. It seemed pretty dry, but in the evening, I've been told it gets a lot like more slick and a lot worse. So these problems were known about for at least some time. Before kickoff,
yeah. They blew it off and said, you know, they the hell with them, let them play. They'll figure it out.
At least put out a warning to teams, be like, yo, you guys are probably going to want to use longer spikes on your cleats tonight. It's a slick surface out there, rather than just kind of leaving it up to them to figure out in warm ups.
Yeah. And then again, I always go, is this just a me issue? That's why I love when the people speak. And if the people don't speak, what happens when they don't react to it? Then you go, well, you know, let it go.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of our format. If you disagree, 1-800-636-1067, cast your vote. And say you think it was garbage, you felt like you got... And I wasn't disappointed at all. It was cool. It was not what I thought it would be. You got to beat the Chiefs to me. And I really like what the Ravens rep. They're still so confused about their offense.
The O-line, more so, just needs to get figured out somehow, some way. Because Lamar was... I remember watching Deshaun Watson play in Houston for, I think it was like his second or third year, and that offensive line was Swiss cheese. And he was running all over the place trying to make a play after play after play, and I'm getting the same vibes with Lamar in Baltimore right now.
Yeah, even with the bell cow, and again, it's one game, but it's not sustainable. He's had to be Houdini every week?
Damn near, yeah.
Yeah, and then he's such a threat. And then with Derrick Henry, it just didn't, well, doesn't have to be what it will be. But I thought it would be, well, you know, I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know what their attempt would be. That was decent. Maybe I expected a little more. But then Kansas City just never, ever disappoints in that they'll find a way. Even though that was as tight and as tough as you could get. They win the game. So it's, but it's a heck of a little rivalry because it gives me more than I think the Bills will give me. The Bills are whom I think the media per se would like to make them the number one rival, and they just can't live up to it. The Bengals, to me, are the most dangerous factor to the Chiefs. But they can't keep their quarterback in the starting lineup. And there's going to always be problems when it comes to money because the Browns, I mean, that's just not going to change. And everybody's playing this cat and mouse game down to the last moment. And they can do it because nobody else is playing their guns. If one team would break out of this norm and follow the leader and just get their people ready for pro football, they end all this. But they know nobody's doing it, so they can afford to just stick along because they're not losing anything because nobody else is putting the pedal to the metal for the most part. Andy played his boys a little bit more than everybody, and he does it every year. But everybody else is kind of like following the leader. Nobody's shown the guts to do it. What I know they know is the right way, but then nobody wants to deal with the consequences. Should somebody get hurt? Every year, everybody's hurt. It's a contact sport. Do you ever hear NASCAR bitching about the replacement parts? You know, where they have 3 or 4 cars per team, right? How many tires they burn, what they go through? It's the cost of doing business. It's how the sport operates. I think football right now is kind of like in limbo. And understandably, I get it. This is all new. We're trying to do it, make it safer. You're trying to do all these things in the best interest of the players. I get it. But then still entertain. And since you allowed it to become a sport you can wager on, this is what happens. Because now you got to people can hold your feet to the fire. Because it has added a lot more interest. I get it, and that's smart. So we'll keep it going. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. DOC on a hot microphone. Collegiate kicking off. Man, I tell you, Terps, the Hokies, Cavaliers, everybody's getting lined up. It is. It's fun. Last night, this weekend, all fun. U.S. Open. There's a lot going on now, but once that football starts, that shows you the gorilla that the NFL is. I don't care what else is going on. When it steps to the plate, the whole room goes dark. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm John Aran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Season is officially under wraps. Got it going on. We've been waiting on this. And we do, man, embrace every area of this. No matter how it sounds, couldn't function without it. Chiefs 27-20 win over Baltimore. And Sam Cosby gets a deal, a four-year deal, securing a bedrock position. Anytime, first of all, to have an excellent lineman, not everybody has somebody that's special up front. You know, we used to have three. Now we've got legit one, and it's good, and they secured him, signed in the right direction, and we love that. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's another one of the things you do strictly for fun. Because if you want to make it real, ask somebody to go, hey, who do you think will win? And put your mortgage or part of your mortgage up on it if you lose. How many people you think would play on that one?
Not enough.
If it was going to cost you part of your mortgage, Max, how big a player would you be?
Man, it depends on how good I felt about the play. If I'm being
for
honest.
This week, how much would you be? None. You wouldn't be none.
Yeah, you're right.
Zero.
This is true. This is true.
Nobody
got
would.
Got me there.
Nobody would. You have not seen them play. They haven't played anybody. Look, don't get me wrong. It's fun. It's cute for kicks. But who the hell are you playing with? You got no idea. You've never seen them. And they're going up against a team in a playoff team with a veteran quarterback, a veteran play call. I mean, what? Okay. All right. Okay. I'll play dumb. We can go along with it. Okay. I'm not, you know, here to kill you, be a killjoy, but I'm going. And that's what happens because people it's a boredom. You're just sick and tired of not having no real ball going on, and people are just almost pulling their hair out their heads, just dying to get to some action. Mitchell in New Jersey, welcome to Overtime.
How you doing, Doc?
Yes, sir, Mitchell. You're first. You got to step up.
All, yeah, exactly. Just make sure my grandson is in the stroller, not hanging out. Lamar played a terrific game. He's a terrific quarterback, but not only do they have to work in the line, but they have to get, like, another wide receiver. I think he's top five, I think, in the league. They don't give him a credit. I mean, they blame him for losing the championship to Kansas City. This Kansas City's got a monster. His name is Patrick Mahomes. I think he's going to win three. I think he's going to be winning a Super Bowl again. That'd be 3 years in a row. And he would have had four if it was some guy named Tom Brady. Hopefully, our guy James Daniels can play like Lamar Jackson. Run over 100 yards, throw over like 250. Be happy with that. And what do you think about the Big Ten? I think it's the strongest conference. I think right now Miller Moss is probably the best quarterback right there. Because I wouldn't be happy. I don't think Washington and Ohio State and definitely Michigan they're going to go down this. They're going to go down today to. Texas and Quinn Ewers. It's going to be some game, but I think they're going down. It's not going to be, it won't be close.
Yeah, I got to see it. I don't have the ability as most to see the future. I have no idea until I see people play. Yeah, I don't. Look, it's a gift I wish I had that you could not see people play and be able to predict how good they're going to be. Or see how these teams are going to be. I have no idea. I'm hopeful, but if I were putting, it depends on how easily you make your money. Hard-earned money, putting on people I've never seen, that'll never happen for me, never. So if we were to win, to me, it would be a surprise. I'd be thrilled. If you ask me who I hope wins, I hope we win. But to go against a team, playoff team, veterans with skillful coaches and a quarterback, and we haven't seen, I don't even know if we can cover air, let alone Mike Evans. Now, prove me wrong. But until I see that, I'd either have to be on a substance or be on the gunpoint. Or just not expect to have any credibility whatsoever. And some people don't care. They just say anything. I'm not one of those. So we'll see what happens. But it's just like last night. And I can only go by the games that have happened. Baltimore, I really love Baltimore's approach to football. I love it, the way they go after the game. But they are now caught up within their own self. They have an identity crisis themselves. They're like a teenage girl puts on way too much makeup. They're confused. Now they got a sledgehammer and still don't know how to use it. So, and their offensive coordinator, to me, that's just ridiculous. So Kansas City, I would have said Kansas City, and I did come to Kansas City, staying with them until they prove me wrong. Kansas City, and I just don't understand it. Green Bay, then I lost because I go, Green Bay, functionally sound, quarterback, young group, not a lot of noise. Philly, noisy, infighting. You have no idea. They have more talent, but who knows who will show up. And guess what? Saquon, and they showed up, and I lose. Why? Because talent is incredibly difficult to beat if it functions in the right way, and they did. And them defensive linemen from Georgia, they actually played. You tackle well, and they win, and they were able to pull it out. But on that one, Max, I would have lost. So that's how it goes. That's how it goes. But it's still the got to say it before it starts. George Stark, old teammate, the head hog, wore 74. He's the best link that I know of, living link, because he played with the Over the Hill gang and the Hall. He played with everybody. I mean, he seemed like with everybody. And he'll join us coming up next. And it's a wealth of knowledge and talent and understanding what the fan base is all about. I don't think anybody has a better feel for what burgundy and gold pride is all about than George Stark. He joins us when we come back to overtime. Stay with us. Our guy, Brian Carpenter, is on point, lathered in maize and blue. And our next guest is no stranger to big games. One of the few guys that can say that he was the youngest in charge movement with the Over the Hill gang, and that is George Stark. Silk, you know, we've got a couple of youngsters at the station that call themselves the youngest in charge. And I wonder if you ever used that back in the day with the Over the Hill gang.
You know, I didn't do that, mostly because being a baby on George Allen's original team, you know, with all of Dyron Talbert and Verlin Biggs, and you know, they were bigger than life guys, and I was just trying to hang in there.
Man, I just that 72 team went to the Super Bowl. And do you ever look back? And again, I was trying to tell our producer Max that you're one of those rare guys that can actually look at today's game and remember almost every change from the length of training camp, training tables, preseason games, spikes, the gear, water breaks. I mean, every change, you almost went through every one of these stinking changes, including our first Super Bowl win here and all of that. And I just wonder, what the hell is taking you so long to put the book together?
That's funny you should ask that question. Angie, I've thought about it a lot. As you know, I wrote a screenplay that mostly was based around the Hogs. Mm-hmm. But you're right, is that I was there for quite a long time, and I know where most of the bodies are buried. It's interesting, you know, it's today, it's so high tech. You know, back when I first started with the Redskins, you know, there was no really weight room or stuff. Or I think George Allen had the first room where you had, there weren't really weights. They had the machines, I think, because he got them for free.
Universals, yeah.
But in those days, yeah, you go. It's funny because you wouldn't do it today, but you know, today, in those days, if you were in a hot practice and it's like 100 degrees and you, you know, you've lost 10 pounds, they'd give you salt pills. I don't know if you remember that.
Yo,
nobody would do that today.
Right. That's counterproductive. Not only did they give you salt pills, then they restricted you or called you less than a man if you wanted to drink water.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Nobody would do that today.
Right.
And you're right. So, you know, I was a baby on that first Redskin Super Bowl team that ultimately lost to Miami, but did beat the Cowboys, you know, in the NFC Championship game, which was 26-3. That was amazing. Charlie, you probably weren't even born, Doc.
No, I was watching it from my bedroom as a junior in high school, but what you also were in the two Cowboy epic home game victories. You might have been the only guy that can say that because you beat them that night, and then we beat them with World Grant, the tip, the score. So you were in the two biggest home games at RFK history, to my account. And again, what the hell is taking you so long to write the book?
It's a good question. You know, I go back and forth about it, and I do know an awful lot of stuff. That's really interesting, you know, that because with George Allen was such an interesting head coach, and he was a little bit crazy, but, you know, the thing was he was always looking for an edge. And when other people, you know, so the people that coached against him, Tom Landry, for example, you know that George Allen never slept, that George was always thinking for some secret way to get the edge on Tom Landry, and, you know, and he did. So he came up with all kinds of interesting stuff. I remember he once thought that the water in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, that the water in Carlisle was secretly had some secret part, some secret addition to it, and that it would help the Redskins win. Even when the Redskins had moved back to D.C. Mm-hmm. or to Virginia, I guess, you know, he still wanted Tommy McVeigh, the equipment guy, to get this water from Carlisle because he felt that it was the key to our success. And he wanted, you know, Tommy McVeigh to drive up there like every morning at 5 a.m. and get water for the team. And Tommy, of course, didn't do that. He was using the tap water from Virginia, right, from the Redskin Park.
Right.
And George caught him one day, you know, loading up the van, pretending to load the van, but using the local tap water, because Tommy just wasn't going to drive to Carlisle to get water every morning. And George was a little bit shocked by that. But then he said, look, the players don't know, so it's okay to keep getting the tap water. We'll keep telling them it's from Carlisle because they'll think it's from Carlisle and there'll be better players. George is always trying to do something to get the advantage, that's for sure.
I've been telling Max all these stories over the years. So, Max, please fire away, man. This is a rarity. We got a guy that can answer all these questions as we lead into opening day against this team in today's system against the Buccaneers.
I mean, man, wish I wasn't podcasting to think of a question.
Well, look at it this way. George, today's game, let's take our left tackle, Coleman, whomever starts. Can you imagine going into a start a game having not taken live reps against Dexter Manley or Tony McGee, Charles Mann, Ken Harvey, any of those guys? Could you have gone into a pro game without having gone live in practice?
Well, the truth is, the answer is no. But, of course, I would, you know, back in the original, the way, well, back in the day with George Allen again.
Right.
So training camp was 8 weeks long, and it was two-a-days. And we hit in the morning, and we hit in the afternoon. 8 weeks, no Sundays off.
You hear this,
every
Max?
Day, 7 days a week, 8 weeks. And, of course, you know, there were six preseason games. So you had a lot of contact. And by the time the season rolled around, you were ready to go. You'd been beaten up. You'd recovered from being beaten up. You know, you'd played a lot of preseason. The practices were long, a lot of contact. And I think that's the problem with today's game, you know, is that they're not ready to go. So they haven't hit anybody because they're not, you know, I guess the league rules are such that you don't really have any contact. I'm not even sure they wear full equipment. So you don't really have any. So these early games, they don't really mean anything. They're like preseason games, even though they're real games,
mm-hmm.
because the players haven't had any contact, and I think that's why watching the offensive line play, like I watched the Chiefs and Baltimore the other night. My God, that you know to be an offensive lineman today, you just got to be a really big fat guy. You don't have to run. They don't do any blocking. So they'll pass block, but they don't run block. I think the league has made it illegal. I don't know. I don't know why they don't run block, but they don't. And so, but they pass block, you know, and they're just big fat guys, and they sort of figure if they're big and they're fat and they weigh 350 pounds, that even though they can't run block, it takes a long time for the defensive guy to run around them to get to the quarterback. And that's why you have such straight into the Baltimore game was so weird. Is that so? It looks like in the Baltimore system is that you have that really good running back they got that I like. It reminds me a lot of Riggins. And yeah. He's 250 pounds. But instead of running him like we ran Riggins, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they drop back, and the quarterback is really the running back. So he runs every other play. You know, it's set up so that the quarterback runs. That's like us. That's like us playing, and Theismann running the ball all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give it to Riggins. I mean, that's what he gets paid for. And the Baltimore is not like that. So they want their running their quarterback to run. I mean, it made me crazy because first of all, he's not going to make it through the rest of the season. He can't play every game like that. I mean, how can you design an offense where the quarterback runs the ball really half the time, it looked like to me?
It's not sustainable. No, it's not. Well, so Derrick Henry's a guy.
I don't see how that's going to work.
They got to figure it out. Yeah, they just they got to figure it out. And without preseason games, you don't get a chance to explore it because they don't play in games. So nobody plays anymore until the regular season. And so the same thing like even last night in last night's game, they had a playing surface over in Brazil that very few people could stand upright without and keep their feet. So, no, let's just say this, George, and I think that Max will agree. You've got to either let us know when you're going to put this book out or either when you're going to start a podcast and something that we can get a historical perspective. Because I think all of us would sign up and be in interested in listening to whatever the heck it is that you would say. So promise us that you'll do either one of the two before you join us again.
Well, I'll tell you what. So since you brought that up, I am going to do a podcast probably starting maybe today. Gene Fugit, played tight end for the Washington.
Yeah.
So Gene the Dream, as he calls himself, mm-hmm. and I are doing a podcast, which is not current events, right? So I'm not interested in doing, X's and O's of the current Commanders because I never played for the Commanders. But since Gene, when I originally was drafted, which was 1971, so George Allen called me the night before the draft. And he says, look, I want to draft you, kid, but I don't need a tight end. We have a good one. His name is Jerry Smith. And the Redskins were right about that. He said, but I want to draft you anyway. Can you play another position? And I totally made it up. I said, probably offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And I got drafted as an offensive tackle and went to training camp as an offensive tackle, but didn't make the squad as an offensive tackle. So I got released, and then I went for the rest of my rookie year. I spent the rest of the time in Kansas City with that great Kansas City team with Curly Culp and Buck Buchanan and that bunch. That was a great football team. Didn't make that squad either, though. So the following year, the Cowboys said, will you please come out and try out for the Cowboys, but we want you to go back to tight end. So I did, and I was competing against Gene Fugit, a guy from Amherst. So you got a Columbia guy competing against an Amherst guy in Texas. At the end of the day, I didn't make the Cowboy team either, but the phone rang in Thousand Oaks, California. It was George Allen. He said, look, been following you, kid. I want you to come back to Washington. We want you to go back to the tackle position. Now I think you can make this team. I came back and I did. Gene Fugit, who I competed against, ultimately, after a couple of years with the Cowboys, called me up. He said, look, I want to get out of Texas. Can you get me with the Redskins? I said, I don't know. Maybe I can. So I helped, and he came, and he finished his career with us. So I've known Gene a long time, and, so it's fun to think to do. So we're doing a podcast together, and it's about all the stuff that really happened, especially between the Cowboys and the Redskins, but football in general. But it's real. You know me, Doc. So it's real stuff that's fun, but it's also true. About the history and development of the Washington Redskins and all that really good inside poop about us playing the Cowboys. So we're doing a podcast together, and I was talking to the current administration over at the Commanders about this issue, and of course I wanted their support. They had actually hired somebody. Her name is Hannah Lichtenstein.
I don't know if you know her
or not.
Yeah, I've been on the show. She has a they have a series that on their podcast deal, and that they've been at least reach into it. George, we're up against a hard break. We'll get you back. Right. We'll continue this. Stay in touch with that. All the best to the family. All right.
Okay, Doc. Anything for you, buddy.
Hogs. All right, brother. Appreciate that. George Stark. As Coach would say, simply one of the best. To break we go. Take it away, Max. We appreciate old number 74, George Stark. Now I got to put the pressure on you, Max. Longhorns and Wolverines. Who are you going with and why?
All right. I think I'm taking Michigan here, +7.5. I got it earlier in the week. I think they're just getting disrespected. National champs coming off of a big win. They're big home game, big noon kickoff. I'm very excited. Go Michigan, go Blue, 7.5.
All right. Phelps showing off his tattoo, Wolverine, so we'll see what happens for that. I got to go with my boy Carp, man, Maize and Blue. We'll see what happens. Catch you on the other side.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.